Shalom to all. Today's office about Basar Daf Samach. We are starting a little bit into the Amud with a brand new Mishnah. And today's office sponsor, Leila Nishmas, Marsh Meir Sar, Basar Yaakov Maisha, Her Neshama Shad Avin Aliyah, Leila Nishmas, Marsh Rivka Basar Meir Zev, Her Neshama Shad Avin Aliyah, Leila Nishmas, Marsh Froma Rezel Basar Shlemi Yaakov, Her Neshama Shad Avin Aliyah, and she should be Melitz Yesher for her family and all of Klal Yisrael. And the Mishnah says, Leif Tachadim Chatzar Shutfin Pesach Yenegad Pesach. In a Chatzar Shutfin, a jointly owned courtyard, two fellows living it together, they own it together, they have the rights to use it. One guy's allowed to open up a new entrance directly opposite the other guy's entrance, or a window opposite another window. This doesn't mean that he has a window and he's just opening up his window looking outside. It means that his house did not have a window over here, or it did not have an entranceway here, and he wants to make a brand new one. Furthermore, let's say he had a small one, he's allowed to make it bigger. If he had one, he can't turn it into two. If it's facing Rosh Hasharabim, he is allowed to open up a brand new entrance, even though it's opposite somebody else's, or a window, even though it's opposite somebody else's. If it's small, he can make it larger. If it's one, he could turn it into two. That's because we're talking about Rosh Hasharabim, and the Gemara is going to explain why that is. So first of all, the Gemara asks, how do we know this? How do we know that in Chatzar Shutfin, he can't open up a brand new entrance directly opposite his friends? Because the Pasuk tells us, Bilam raised his eyes, and he saw Yisrael, and because he saw Yisrael, he started blessing them, and all the beautiful psukim that we have over there. And the question is, what did he see? The answer is, he saw that the entrances to their tents were not precisely opposite one another. And when he saw this, Amar, he said, these people are fitting that the Shekhinah rests on them. In other words, he saw the Yidden were maintaining significant amounts of privacy. The opening of their tents were not facing each other, and that's why they were deserving of such bracha. Now, we know that the entire encampment of Am Yisrael was considered a chatzar, was considered a courtyard, if you will. The only part of the encampment that was Rosh Hasharabim was Machan Leviyah, but where all the Shvatim lived is considered like one big chatzar. And so we see that in a chatzar, we have to maintain certain levels of privacy, and therefore, even though a person lives here, he's not allowed to open up a brand new entrance or a window directly opposite another guy's. And we can explain the Mishnah, if it was small, he's not allowed to make it large. So Sover Rav Chama LeMeimar, Rav Chama wanted to say, the Bar Dalid lo yishavi Bar Tamanya. If his entranceway is 4 amas wide, he's not allowed to make it 8 amas wide. Why is that? Because that means he's taking 8 in the Chatzar. Al Bar Tarti, but if his entranceway was only 2 amas wide, lo yishavi Bar Arba, Shapir Dami, to widen it to 4 amas is perfectly okay, because anyway, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, every person who has rights as chatzar is allowed to have a 4 amma entranceway, and his entranceway was only 2 ammas, so of course he'd be allowed to expand it to 4 ammas. However, Amalei Rav Rava told him that no, even in this case, he's not allowed to expand it from 2 to 4. Why is that? Because Matzi Amalei, the other guy, can tell him, with your small entranceway, I was able to hide myself from you, I was able to do things in private. But now that you have a larger entranceway, it's wider, I'm not able to hide myself from you. And once again, this goes back to the privacy issue, even though maybe halachically there's no problem because everyone has the rights to a 4 amma entranceway. Nonetheless, since it's directly opposite to other guys, that fellow could prevent him from widening his entranceway. And we continue with this. If he has one opening or one door, he's not allowed to turn it into two. Now, Sover Rav Chama LeMeimar, Rav Chama wanted to say, the Bar Abai, if he has an opening that's 4 amas wide, he's not allowed to turn it into two openings of 2 amas each, because he's going to end up taking 8 amas in the chatzar. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, every door opening into the chatzar is given 4 amas in front of it in the chatzar. So that means if he takes a 4 amas wide doorway and splits it into two amma sections, one over here and one over there, that means he's going to end up taking 8 ammas in the chatzar, and halachically that's not okay. Aval, however, continues Rav Bar Chama, Bar Tamni, if he has an entranceway that's anyway 8 ammas wide, lo shavi b'nei arba arba, shapir dami, to turn into two separate entranceways of 4 each, that's not a problem, because anyway, he has 8 ammas in the chatzar, and here he's still going to have those 8 ammas in the chatzar, and so he's allowed to do this. However, Amalei Rava, once again, Rava told him that no, Mati Amalei, the other fellow could tell him, b'chad pescha matzin estunui minach, if you only have one entrance, which you currently have, I can still hide myself from you, I can do things in private. Whereas betray, if you have two separate openings, it's going to be difficult for me to remain private from you, and therefore he can even prevent this. In other words, once again, Rav is responding to Rav Bar Chama that this is a privacy issue, and it's not a halachic issue of how much space he's taking. Lastly, the Mishnah had said, but if we're talking about opening it into Rosh Hasharabim, he is allowed to open an entranceway, even though it's directly across somebody else's. And why is that? To Amalei, because the one opening it up could say, Saif, at the end of the day, you have to, so to speak, hide yourself from the people of Rosh Hasharabim. I'm not infringing on your privacy by me opening up my door directly opposite yours when we're both looking into the Rosh Hasharabim, because anyway, there's people walking back and forth that are going to be looking into your house, and because of them, you have to do your best to maintain your privacy, and I'm not infringing on that at all. And going on to another Mishnah, we continue, Ein Oysen Chal Tachas Rosh Hasharabim, Baris Sheikhinim Ma'aris, one is on to make a Chalal, which literally means a hollow, underneath the Rosh Hasharabim, which is either a Bar Sheikh or Ma'ara, meaning a person is not allowed to dig some sort of ditch underneath the Rosh Hasharabim, even though he's going to cover it. Whereas Rebbe Elazar says he's allowed allowed to, as long as the cover is strong enough to hold a wagon that's carrying stones, and if it's covered in such a manner, then a person is allowed to dig this big hole in the Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah continues, one is not allowed to be mitzi a ziz, which is some sort of protrusion, like a beam sticking out, or a gezustra, which is some sort of porch. He's not allowed to build these in his property and have them sticking out into the Rosh Hashanah, because people could be harmed and it bothers them. But if he wants to, he could build them in his own property, and then they're allowed to stick out because they're still within his property. Now let's say he bought a chatzer and there was already zizim gezustrais sticking out. That remains in its chazaka, and this guy buying it doesn't have to prove how they got there. We assume the original owner was allowed to build like that for whatever reason. Maybe he got permission, he got official approval from the city to do so. But again, that's not something that the buyer has to be able to prove why he's allowed to have this. He bought it like this, it can remain like that. Now the Gemara just clarifies the beginning of the Mishnah of Rabbanon. The reason why they do not allow digging a pit in the Rosh Hashanah, even though it's going to be covered with a very strong cover. It could be that the cover is going to wear away, something's going to happen to it, and he's not going to know about it, and then later on, someone's going to get hurt. Right now, he put on this fresh cover, it's solid and strong, no one's going to get hurt. But later on, something might happen to it, and a person might get hurt, and the Rabbanon are afraid for that. That's why they ask for him to do it now, whereas Reb Elazar is not afraid for that. He says, right now you covered it properly, no problem, we don't have to worry about later on. We explain the next part of the Mishnah. Now, sorry about this, Reb Ami, Reb Ami had a ziz, he had this protrusion, this beam sticking out that was going into the mavoi. Remember, mavoi is an alleyway which is shared by all the residents of the multiple chatzeros which open into this alleyway. And so we had this beam sticking out into it. There was another fellow, he had this protrusion sticking out into the shusarabim. Now also came to Reb Ami, his fellow came to Reb Ami, Reb Ami told him, Zilkaitz, you have to cut your protrusion, you have to cut this beam that's sticking out. It's bothering, potentially cause harm to people in shusarabim. So Amrali, the fellow told him, you also have one sticking out. So he answered, Didi lemavua mapek. Mine is sticking out into the mavoi, into the alleyway. But a mavua machlin gaboy. The people of mavoi are michael it to me, and they say that I could have it there. Whereas idach, yours, the Rosh Hashanah mapek. It's sticking out to the Rosh Hashanah. Man machal gabach. Who's being michael for you? You didn't gather everyone walking in the Rosh Hashanah at all times of the day and multiple different days and weeks and months to get all of their approvals and signatures to allow you to stick it out to the Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, you have to cut yours, and I do not have to cut mine. Another story about this, Rabbianai, Havalai Ilan Hanoth Rosh Hashanah. Rabbianai had a tree whose branches were leaning over into the Rosh Hashanah. And Avahu Gavra, there was another fellow, the Havalei Nami Ilan Adel Rosh Hashanah. He also had a tree that was leaning over the Rosh Hashanah. Also, B'nai Rosh Hashanah, Havakom Avi Lave, the people of Rosh Hashanah came to this other fellow and told him, look, your branches are bothering us, you gotta cut it down. Amalez Rabbi Yonah told him, Samachom Bezantab, Zilha Idna, go away today, Vitalamachar, and come back tomorrow. Now, Belelia, that night, Shadar, he sent somebody, Katzel Hudi Day, he had somebody cut down his own tree, meaning Rabbi Yonah had somebody cut down the branches of his tree that were leaning over the Rosh Hashanah. Lamachar Asla Kamei, the next day this fellow came back to him, Amalez Rabbi Yonah told him, Zil cuts, you have to go cut your tree down. Amrlay, so he asked him, Hamar Nami Islay, you also have a tree leaning over the Shisrabim. Amrlay told him, Zil Chazi, go and see. E kaitzidi, kaitzidach. If mine is cut down, you gotta cut yours down. E loy kaitzidi, loy takotzat, you don't have to cut yours down either. And obviously, since Rabbi Yonah's tree was already cut down, the fellow had to cut down his tree. So Gemara asks, Meikar my savar, lubsaif my savar. Originally, what did Rabbi Yonah think, and later on, what did he think? Why originally was he okay with his tree leaning over the Shisrabim, and then he decided that he has to cut it down? The answer is, Meikar savar originally thought, Nichol hu lubnei Shisrabim diasvi betulay. That it's good for the people of Shisrabim because they're able to sit in the shade of the tree, and that's why he left it there. But Kim the Chazal Kama Akvi, since he saw they were bothered by it because they told the other guy to cut down his tree, Shadar Kate, that's why he sent somebody else to cut down his tree. Ask Gemara, hold on, Vulei Malay, why didn't you just tell the fellow, Zil Kaitzidach, Vahadar Ekaitzidi? You go cut your tree down, and then I'll cut my tree down. And the answer is, Mishum Dresh Lakish, because Dresh Lakish says, the Amar, he says, quoting a Pasuk, is Kaishishu Vekaishu. And this Machlex and Farshan, what exactly this means. According to Ashbam, it's referring to a Lashon of Kash, straw, but either way, the way we understand it now is kshayt atzmacha va'achakach kshayt acherim. First kshayt, adorn yourself, and then adorn others. You have something to fix up, you gotta work on something, work on it first before you tell somebody else to work on that same issue. And that's where Rabbi Yonah first cut his tree down, and then he told the other guy, you gotta cut your tree. Continue to explain the Mishnah, it said, aval imratza kanasach shalayu maitzi. If a person wants to have things protruding from his wall, he could set his wall back into his property, and then he could have these things sticking out. For example, if he wants a beam sticking out 2 feet, so he should just build his wall 2 feet into his property, and then he could have his beam sticking out 2 feet because it's all within his property and is not bothering the people that just rob him. So that's a fun question. Let's say he set his wall back and for whatever reason he didn't have these protrusions coming out of it. Is he allowed to later on now add these protrusions on? So Rabbi Yechon answers, Konas Maitzi. If he set his wall back, he could be Maitzi even at a later time. Or Shlokesh says, Konas Eine Maitzi. Even though he set his wall into his property, if he didn't immediately have these protrusions built out, he's not allowed to do so at a later date. And why would that be? Well, because when he sets his wall back from the Shisrabim, people people from the Shusha Rabbim are now going to be using this extra space that used to be occupied by his wall. And so in a way, it's as if he was meichel that space to them, and now later on, he can't just build these protrusions out, perhaps damaging someone or bothering them as they're walking by. That's Reish Lakish's svara. However, now we have a different opinion of what the machlokes was. Amar li Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Tachlifa, Rabbi Yaakov told Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Tachlifa, Asbar l'cha, I'm going to explain to you, l'haitzi kuli amaloi pligi demaitzi. In regards to having these protrusions come out, even at a later date, no one argues about this. Of course, it's allowed to be done. Since he set his wall back, he's allowed to build these protrusions, his porch, whatever it is, whenever he wants. Ki pligi, what's on machlokes? L'hachzer k'salmon kaimon. If he wants to move his wall back to where it originally was. And actually, the machlokes is the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan says, Eine machzer, that he's not allowed to move his wall back to where it was originally, whereas Reish Lakish says, machzer, he is allowed to move it back to where it was originally. Rabbi Yochanan says, he's not allowed to move it back to where it was originally. Mishum Rabbi Huda, based on what Rabbi Huda said, Metzar Shechzigu by Rabbim, the border of a field that the majority were already machzik on, let's say they used it as a pathway, they would walk on this border to get to wherever they wanted to. Also, Kakle, one's not allowed to ruin it, even though it technically belongs to the owner of the field, since the Rabbim already have a chazak on it, they're already using it, this owner's not allowed to say, get off my border, I want to use it for one thing or another. And it's the same thing with this wall. Since he had set his wall back into his property, and as we had said, people from Shus Rabbim are now using this area because it's right next to Shus Rabbim, he now can't come at a later date and say, okay guys, I'm moving my wall back. That's considered a Meitzar Shechzig by Rabbim. Whereas Reish Lakish Amar, he says, Machzir, he is allowed to move his wall back. Why is that? Because Hani Mili, Hechad Lek Ravcha, that's only where there's no space, meaning there isn't another way for the people to go. They were using this Meitzar, the boundary of the field, as a shortcut, for example, and there is no other way for them to get to the place where they want to get to, so that's why the owner of the field is allowed to kick them off of this Meitzar of his. But Hach over here, Ha'ik Ravcha, but over here there is space. There's just Rabbim is very wide, there was plenty of space to walk beforehand, and now they have a little bit of extra space. Okay, not a big deal. Now they'll have a little bit of less space, but there still is plenty of space in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself for them to walk, and that's why this guy is allowed to take his wall and move it back to where it used to be before. And can you explain the Mishnah we had said, Laka Chatzar Uba Zizun Guzustrais, Harihi Bechaskasa? Let's say a person bought a Chatzar, and as part of it, there was already Zizun and Guzustrais built, sticking out to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It's in its Chazaka, and it's allowed to remain as is. Now, Rav Huna says the following, Nafla, if it fell down, Chazar Bainoisa, he's allowed to go and rebuild it exactly as it was before. But now, Mishnah has the following, we know that Amos Aydin, a person is not allowed to put lime, which is basically very bright white plaster on his wall. Vein Mechairin, he's not allowed to make pictures. Vein Mefeichin, he's not allowed to have very nice paintings on the wall. Bizman is it nowadays, because Zecher L'Churban, and we're going to be discussing that soon. However, Laka Chatzar, Mesuyades, Mechuyares, Mefuyaches, if he bought a Chatzar that already had lime on the entire thing, where it had these beautiful designs and pictures and art, Hariz B'chaskasa, it's in its Chazaka. However, Nafla, if it fell down, Eino Chazar Rabbi Noisa, he's not allowed to go and rebuild it as it was. So we see that even though when he bought it, it was technically in a problematic state, we don't tell him to do anything about it, once it falls down, he's not allowed to rebuild it. So my answer is Yisur Shani. And Isra is different. This thing that we're just mentioning about plastering the wall with lime, for example, that's regarding the Isra of Zecher L'Churban, and that's why once it falls down, it's not allowed to be rebuilt as it was before. However, this, when we're talking about Zizun and Guzustrais, we're not talking about Isra. We're assuming he built a Beheter originally, and there is a possible way to build these Zizun and Guzustrais Beheter, and therefore, once it falls down, he's allowed to rebuild it exactly as it was before, because again, it was done Beheter. Now we continue talking about this din. Tanur Rabbanu Yom Braisa, Loyal Sod Adam is Base of Asid. A person not a plaster's house completely with lime. Lime is very, very white. It's like bright white paint and it's very beautiful. However, if he mixes sand or straw into it, it's permitted because it dulls the brightness of the color and therefore it's okay. Now, Rabbi Yehuda tells us, if he just mixes sand into it, that's considered trachsid and it's usr. Trachsid means it's very strong. It's a very powerful way of plastering the house. And even though the sand dulls the color, that dullness in color is offset by the fact that he's doing this very strongly, so it's still usr. However, teven, mutter. If he mixes straw into it, so that dulls the color and it's not very strong, he is allowed to plaster his house like this. I will continue discussing this. When the second Beis was destroyed, Rabbi Prushin be Yisrael, Prushin, people who distanced themselves from enjoyment in Olam Hazeh, they increased in Am Yisrael. What do? Shalai lechal basar v'shalai shtes yayin, not to eat meat or to drink wine. Now Nitzblam Rabbi Shua, Rabbi engaged them in conversation. Amalhani asked them, Banai, my sons, Mipnei ma iatam eichal basar v'enatam shaysim yayin, why are you not eating meat and not drinking wine? So Amalhani, they responded, Noichal basar, we should eat meat, shayimena makirin al-gab mizbeach. That was brought on the mizbeach, v'achshav batal, and now it's batal, we don't have the mizbeach anymore. And nishta yayin wants to drink wine, shayimenaschal al-gab mizbeach, that was used for the wine libations, the nisach hayayin on the mizbeach, v'achshav batal, and now it's batal. How could we eat meat and drink wine? So Amalhani told them, Be'etzam, you're right. However, imkain, if that's so, lechem lo noichal, we shouldn't be eating bread either, shikvar bitl menachas, because menachas were batal, and we know the menachas were made of flour and oil, and so we shouldn't be allowed to eat bread. They told him, yeah, you're right, we shouldn't eat bread. And actually, the way that we would survive is efshar b'peiros. One could survive off of fruit. So Rabbi Shua responded to them, yeah, but peiros lo noichal, we shouldn't be allowed to eat peiros either, shikvar batl bikurim, because there's no mitzvah bikurim anymore since we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. They told him, yeah, that's actually a good piece of advice as well, and efshar b'peiros acherim, we could eat other peiros. So you actually are helping us along, Rabbi Yeshua. In a way, that's what they were telling him. However, now he comes with his winning argument. Mayim le'nishteh, we shouldn't drink water, shekavar batal nisach hamayim, because the water libations, which were done on Sukkot, that is batal, and based off of your svar, we shouldn't be allowed to drink water either. And due to this argument of his, shasku, they were quiet, because they realized that it's impossible to live like this, not eating meat, drinking wine, eating bread, a lot of fruits, or even drinking water. So Amalehen, Rabbi Yeshua told them, Banai, my sons, Bayev Ar Melechem, come and I'm going to tell you, Shalaylis Abel Kol Iker, Yefshar, not to mourn of the destruction based on Mikdash is impossible. Shekvar Nigzer Gzera, the Gzera was already made, the base of Mikdash was already destroyed, and we have a Chiyuv to mourn. Well, Abel Yarsim Yedai Yefshar, but to mourn excessively, that's also an impossibility, Shein Garzim Gzera Tzibur, Elam Kin Rev Tzibur Chayim Lamed Ba, because we can't make a Gzera on the Tzibur if the majority of the Tzibur is not going to be able to stand by it. And what you're suggesting is basically an impossibility. How do we know that we're not going to make a Gzera if Rev Tzibur is not able to keep to it? Dechsev Kaz Pasuk says, Me'er Atem Na'arim Va'aisi Atem Kaivim Hagai Kulai. And the general background behind this pasuk is that Am Yisrael had cursed anyone that doesn't bring their Meiser to the Eitzer, to the storage house of the Beis HaMikdash, in order to be distributed, and everyone would bring their Meiser there, however, they weren't distributed properly. So Navi's rebuking them for taking on this wonderful thing upon themselves, that everyone has to bring their Meiser to the distribution point, but at the end of the day, they weren't distributing them to the proper people. Now we see from here that this was a proper Gzeira, and they were held to it, and this is something that everyone accepted upon themselves. So we see they were only able to make a Gzeira that everyone, or at least the majority, are able to keep to. So Yeshua continued telling them, Al-Kacham Rechamim, this is what Al-Kacham said that we should do in order to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Adam is Beis HaBesid, a person could plaster his entire house with lime, no problem, Umishayar by Davar Muad. He has to leave a little bit over. Now we just pause and explain, Vakama, how much has to be left over unplastered? Amar Beis says, Amal Amma, it has to be one by one Amma. And Rechizah clarifies, Can I get a Pesach? It has to be opposite the entranceway. And that's where we have a Salacha that a person has to leave an Amma by Amma unpainted. And we should continue telling them, Aisa Adam Kotar Chisuda, a person can make his entire meal, no problem. You want to make a huge feast with a wonderful menu? Ain Baya. However, Umishayar Davar Muad, a person has to leave over something that he doesn't serve. He has to take something off the menu. And Maihi, what is that? Omar Papa says, Kasa de Harsana, it's some sort of fish dish. It's fish fried in its own oil and flour. That has to be left off the menu. And lastly, he told them, Aisa Isha Kotach Shiteha, a woman could do all of her adornments, all of her different beautifications that she does herself, Umishayar Davar Muad, but she has to leave something out that she does not do. And Maihi, what is that thing? Omar Ravi tells us, Bas Sida. It's either some sort of hairstyle or hair left on her temples. Instead of removing it, she leaves it there as remembrance for the destruction of the temple. Now, how do we know that we're supposed to do something to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Shneimar Kol Pasuk says, "Im Hashkachich Yerushalayim, if I forget Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yemini, my right hand should be forgotten." Tidbak L'sheni L'chiki V'gaimer. And the main reason why we're bringing the pasuk is for the last part of it. Im Loy Alas Yerushalayim Al Rosh Simchasi. So the Gemara asks, "Al Rosh Simchasi? What does that mean? Al Rosh Simchasi?" Literally, the pasuk is telling us, "Im Loy Alas Yerushalayim, if I do not elevate Yerushalayim, Al Rosh Simchasi, above my highest or greatest simcha." In other words, our vision, our desire for Yerushalayim has to be elevated above the greatest simcha. What does that mean? Asked the Gemara. Amar Yitzchak answers, "Zeh Efer Miklash Bresh Chasanim." This is the burnt ashes which are put on the head of a chasan, meaning when we're at the most elevated part of simcha, which is a chasana, the chasan places ashes on top of his head, and that's elevating Yerushalayim above the simcha. And Amar Rav Papa Labai, Rav Papa told Labai, "Hey Chamanachla, where does he put it? B'makam Tefillin, specifically on the place where his tefillin goes." Shneimar because the pasuk says, "Lasam Lavel Yitzion, Lasis Lahem Pe'er Tachas Efer." And we know that Pe'er is a lashon of tefillin because Yechazkel Hanavi was told, "Pe'er Chachavish Alecha," and that's referring to tefillin. And so chasan should take these ashes, these Efer, and put them in a makam of Pe'er, which is, by the way, the same letters rearranged, and that's a kim of the pasuk of Al Rosh Simchasi. So we see that a person is supposed to do something to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And while it's matter from Rabbi Yeshua v'chalmas Abba Yerushalayim Zeicha Rebbe Simchasa, anyone who mourns of Yerushalayim, he's going to be Zeicha and see in the Simcha and the rejoicing of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. How do we know this? Shneimar because the pasuk says Simchas Yerushalayim v'gaimer, and the pasuk concludes Kol Hamasablam Aleha. So we see that the people that are Masabal, they mourn for Yerushalayim, they're going to be Simchas Yerushalayim. They're going to be the ones that rejoice with the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. And Tanya v'Brayso on Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, he tells us Miyam Shkar Beis HaMikdash, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Din Hu Shenegzer Al Atzmeinu, really we should be guards of the following on ourselves, V'lo Yilcha Bosav, V'lo Yilcha Shasyayin, not to eat meat or drink wine, Ella, however, Ein Gozer Nigzer Al Tzibur, Elam Kin Rev Tzibur Yuchayim Lamed Ba. We can't be guards or something on the Tzibur that the majority of the Tzibur is not able to keep to, and it's basically an impossibility for the majority of the Tzibur to go about not eating meat or drinking wine. And also, Miyam Shabash Machas Harasha, from the day that the evil kingdom, which is referring to Rome, spread out, Shegazer Salin Gzer Sres V'Kashais, they make terrible and harsh decrees on us, V'vatal Sumenu Tyro Mitzvahs, and then V'vatal Tyro Mitzvahs from us, and they don't allow us to gather together for a Shavua Haben, this referring to a Bris Mila. Not only was a person going to be killed by the Romans if he gave Bris Mila to his son, anyone who gathered together for the Bris Mila was also killed. And Amrila, some say, Li Yeshua Haben, for the salvation of the son, this is referring to Pidyon Haben. When a person has a firstborn son, it's redeemed by the Kayin, that's 30 days after he's born. And because he's Gzer, says Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Din Hu Shenigzal Atzmeinu, we really should be Gzer on ourselves, Shaloy Li Si'isha, not to get married or have kids. kids. And Venimtza Zar Shal Avram Avinu Kalam Elov, it turns out that the offspring of Avram, meaning the Yidden, are going to end up being destroyed on their own without the Goyim actually killing us, but because of this Gezera, we're not going to end up having any Yidden anymore. El, or rather, the reason why we don't make such a Gezera is because Hanach Lahem Yisrael, leave the Yidden, Mutav Shu Shagin Valium Zidin, it's better that they're Shagig when they do this and not Mazid. In other words, he knew that people would not keep to such a Gezera, and therefore it's better not to make the Gezera than to make it and have people over it B'mezid. We should Zechar Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'mehir V'yomeinu, Hajjal Cheskas Abatim, Mazlor finishing the third parak of Mesechas Bava Basra, just like we Zechar finished this parak together, we should Zechar finish the entire Mesechah together, and of course, all of Shas together. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow beginning the brand new parak. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.